past Tuesday night, a good number of us from Emmanuel, and some of you are here tonight who were there, were in attendance at the service for community solidarity, support, and comfort at Temple Road of Shalom. Those of us who were there joined more than 2,000 of our neighbors from various religious traditions, Jewish, Christian, Muslim, Hindu, and other Eastern religions, and I suppose probably some that were not. And people of all hues and ethnicities. Rabbi Amy Schwartzman started the service by telling us, in the Jewish tradition, we welcome one another with the words Rukim Habayim, which means, blessed are those who come. She blessed us and thanked us for coming to show our support, and then she called us to reach out to bless and thank and say hello to a new friend sitting near us. Then the service continued with such breathtakingly beautiful songs and liturgy, remembrances of those who died in the hands of hate at the Tree of Life in Pittsburgh last Saturday and 3 days earlier at Kroger in Kentucky. Words of thanksgiving and encouragement for helpers and healers and protectors and prophets and community leaders. Prayers of consolation and gratitude, celebrations of unity and calls to do justice. Give welcome. Rabbi Amy, who became choked up more than once, said she was a choir, which made me feel a little bit better about my own propensity to shed a tear. Hope it makes you feel better about that too. If you were there and weren't moved to tears by the sheer beauty and the hope and the holiness of that service, I think you might not be capable of crying in anything. Over dinner after the service, my wife Judith, who like me was already thinking about preaching on this morning, on this evening's text in her congregation, said to me, you know, we were not far from the kingdom of God tonight. I had to agree. We were oh so close to God's kingdom, God's beloved community. We were so near to the promise of peace. It was right there at our doorstep, less than a stone's throw away. We could see it and hear it and taste it and touch it. And I want to tell you, it made us hungry and thirsty for more. Something about being challenged and inspired to live up to and into our higher selves that thrills us and makes us want to do just that. I think that was a big part of Jesus' appeal when he walked this earth. Oh, there was plenty of resistance to him, no question, but that came from people who were afraid of change, who didn't want to loosen their grip on power and privilege, who saw his love for all, especially those on the margins, as a threat and not as a sign of hope for a new and better future. But even some of those folks were secretly drawn to him like flies to honey. I believe that's what drew the scribe in today's passage to want to converse with Jesus. Sure, he might have been trying to trip Jesus up with his questions about which was the most important commandment, but I prefer to think that the scribe really, indeed, wanted to hear his response, especially after he saw how Jesus had answered others who were trying to trap him, that way that Jesus always had of bringing it back to how we live and treat each other in the here and now. So when Jesus answered the scribe with the Hebrew Shema, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one, and you shall love the Lord with all your heart and with all your mind and with all your soul and with all your strength," then added, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." I think that thrilled the scribe. Thrilled him in the way of hearing a truth that resonates deep within us, touches any of us. So he tells Jesus, "You're right, you are right." He repeats Jesus' words back to him. Love God with your heart and soul and mind and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And then he tacks on, "This is more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices. Any ritual observance pales in comparison to living out the love of God and neighbor in your life." And that's when Jesus, seeing that he answered him wisely, responds, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And notice, he doesn't say, you've got it. You're in. He says, you're not far from it. I think that's Jesus' way of telling them, you're so close. All you have to do is take one more step. All you have to do is move from knowing the right answer to acting on it. Moving from talking about loving God and loving your neighbor as you love yourself into actually doing it. It's always the challenge, isn't it? That step from the thrill of hearing a deep truth spoken to doing something about it in our own lives. Because putting God first really resonates with us, but we have busy and complicated lives, and it can be hard to make time for prayer and worship and living our faith and giving a gratitude is a great slogan. And God knows we have a lot to be grateful for, not least of which is what God is doing at Emmanuel. But increasing our own commitment and thankful trust, well, maybe somebody else can do that. And loving our neighbor, well, that's great and all. What about when it's inconvenient? What about when our neighbor is hard to love for any one of a million reasons? What about when they lash out in pain? What about when they're fearful and angry? What about when they turn out to be broken and in need of mercy? We are tempted to forget our own brokenness and our own need for mercy. So grateful that Brian Stevenson was with us earlier today. I was privileged to hear him talk about the importance of showing up for those who our society has marginalized, those who fail to receive equal justice because of the way our system is skewed against people of color, or those who are mentally ill, the way our system is skewed against those who sit on death row. Had very few people show up for them over the course of their lives, where our system is skewed against so many others. One of the enduring themes of Brian Stevenson's work is the importance of proximity, of showing up, of getting close, or to put it in terms of this evening's text, of moving from being not far from the kingdom to actually stepping into it and its work. Think of the scene in his book, Just Mercy, where Brian talks about the 13-year-old whose grandmother asked him to go see him in jail. Brian went and just wanted to get him to talk. The boy wouldn't talk. And he tried every which way he could to try to get this boy to talk. He wouldn't talk. Finally, he moved over and sat beside him. Sat there in silence and then moved in and put his shoulder on the boy's shoulder. Finally, the boy started to sob. Shared stories of being terribly abused on the two previous nights because he'd been sentenced as an adult and placed with adults. He'd been raped. Brian has become proximate to pain and need. Learned deeply the truth. The lesson that you can't understand most of the important things in life from a distance. You have to get close. In his book, Just Mercy, he writes this: proximity has taught me some basic and humbling truths, including this vital lesson. Each of us is more than the worst thing we've ever done. My work with the poor and the incarcerated has persuaded me that the opposite of poverty is not wealth. The opposite of poverty is justice. Finally, he says, I've come to believe that the true measure of our commitment to justice, the character of our society, our commitment to the rule of law and fairness and equality cannot be measured by how we treat the rich, the powerful, the privileged, and the respected among us. The true measure of our character is how we treat the poor, the disfavored, the accused, the incarcerated, and the condemned. When we hear words like that and we resonate with them, we are not far from the kingdom. But when they cause us to live and act in a different way, to be there for others, to stand up and let our voice be heard for justice, to treat the poor, the accused, the incarcerated, and the condemned with mercy and justice, well, when we do that, we've actually stepped into the kingdom. It's the move from thinking that somebody somewhere should do something to help the homeless to signing up to volunteer at our hypothermia shelter and letting that proximity launch you into looking for more opportunities to make a difference for people who are homeless. People who have names and stories. It's the move from reading Bryan Stevenson's book to taking action on what you've read. It's the move from attending a wonderful service of unity and comfort to actively continuing the work of unity and comfort amidst diversity after the service is over. One last thought. Tonight is our All Saints observance here. So after we share communion together, we'll be hearing the names of our loved ones who died in the past year read. There are quite a few of them, many of whom had quite an impact on Emmanuel, directly or indirectly. As you hear those names read, I want you to think about those saints. How those we remember today showed up for us in their lifetimes, and called and continue to call us to show up for others. I want you to do one more thing after that, in their memory and in their honor. I want you to show up for somebody else. Somebody who really and truly needs you to show up for them. In Jesus' name.